Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, where we discuss all things leadership, like what it takes to be a great leader, challenges to overcome, and of course, tips to help leaders continually develop. My name is Tara Lehman, and I am a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. I aim to provide effective leadership coaching, consulting, and our community to help you retain your star employees and to help improve your bottom line. You can check it all out at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming David Kitchen to the show. David is a speaker and also a consultant through Edge Leadership Academy. Welcome to the show.
I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
It is. I can't wait. You have a great topic and I can't wait to get to it. But why don't you start by letting us get to know you a little bit more with regards to your leadership journeys?
Yeah, so I'll kind of give you the Reader's Digest version and then we can unpack whatever you want to unpack. So I tell people, you know, when I start the story always is that I was given the best gift that I could have ever received. And that was that I was born into a single parent household. And I was raised by a strong single mother that taught me a lot of things. And so my leadership journey is a little bit different because I learned to lead with love at a very young age. You know, from there, I had the opportunity to follow the athletic journey and get an opportunity at college to play football. And kind of that's where, you know, I really got rooted in leadership. Like I saw what it meant. I saw what it wasn't. And got the opportunity to find myself a little bit, right? And not in the traditional sense. Most people, you know, when they highlight the story and say, oh, I went to college to play football, they tell you some great story about how they got to play football. I came in as one of the top recruits and I never started a single game in college. I learned a lot about lessons that I should have learned that most people learn at a young age. I didn't get to learn because I was trying to be the man of the house, right? And so I kind of went through this regression almost where I was very childlike in college and acted like a fool for a few years. But I was very fortunate. I had role models in my life. I had a coach who refused to give up on me even when I wanted to give up on myself. And he guided me through the waters, you know, and helped me figure out what it meant to be a man and what it meant to be a man when nobody's looking, right? Because I was always able – As a young child, I always had my little brother looking up at me. So I had to act a certain way. I had to conduct myself a certain way. My mom was depending on me. When I got to college, that spotlight was off. And so I had to learn how to be a man when nobody was watching. And I had to learn how to be a leader when nobody was paying attention to what I was doing. And so that led me into my early career, which was corporate sales. So I was actually in IT sales, was making a bunch of money. It was in 2014. So you can imagine like the cloud solutions were just becoming the norm and everything. So it was like shooting fish in a barrel, right? So I came out hot and was selling cloud solutions to small and medium businesses all over the state. And I just wasn't happy. You know, I really wasn't thrilled with how my life was going. And I remember being at a Christmas party and looking around and seeing the other partners in the firm and people that were, you know, sales reps that were higher up than me, you know, drinking their scotch and had their nice watches on and the suit and tie and the whole thing. And I remember walking outside and I was just like, this isn't what I want. Like, this isn't the future that I want for myself. And so I had been coaching high school football on the side just as something to do. And I fell in love with the weight room. I fell in love with strength and conditioning and the physical process, the training behind athletics. And so I wrote a letter to every large college on the East Coast and I said, I will quit my job if you give me an opportunity to come work from you and learn.
Wow.
And yeah, so I was very fortunate to get an opportunity and somebody wrote me back and said, all right, yeah, we'll take you up on that. You know, so I quit my job and I moved into a little one bedroom apartment that only took cash for rent. So you can imagine the kind of neighborhood it was. Yeah. And, I worked for free, you know, and I got my first taste of true leadership and my first taste of, you know, what it was like to be around people who were searching to be the best version of themselves, both athletes and coaches and administration, because it was a high, you know, Division I level school. And so it was a large university and it was win or get fired. And so, you know, you learn very quickly that you're always seeking opportunities to be better. And that launched me onto a 10-year career that included being the youngest head strength and conditioning coach in all of college athletics at 24. So I quit my job at 21, went to Pittsburgh at 22, and then 2 years later became the youngest head strength coach in all of college athletics. Then I had the opportunity to go to Division I and coach there with men's basketball, with football, and it was an awesome career. I mean, those 10 years that I spent as a college coach were really valuable in the way that they formed my leadership philosophy and in the way that they gave me an opportunity to see culture in so many different environments. Yeah. And then from there, when the pandemic hit, I again decided it was time to do something different because in college athletics, your career is tied to your head coach, right? Because I wasn't the head coach of the sport. I was considered support staff. So I was a head strength and conditioning coach, but there's always a bigger dog in the yard.
Right.
And if that person gets let go or if they leave, you're fired as well. And so I realized no matter how good I did and no matter how well I performed, I was never truly in control of my future. And so for me, I was like, okay, I need to find something else. I need to find something where at least if I fail, it's because of me. Right. Mm-hmm. At least if I lose my job, it's because of me. And so entrepreneurship was the answer to me. You know, I like betting on myself. I believed that I had a system in place with leadership and teaching, you know, leadership development and everything. And so I launched Edge Leadership Academy and walked away from a contract extension. And, you know, here we are 3 years later. You know, we do corporate services, individual services. We work a lot with athletics teams. And it has been an absolute wild journey, you know, but I enjoy what I do every single day. I get the opportunity to teach people what I learned at a young age, which is that leaders are built, not born.
Yeah. And I was going to mention how you talk about initiative and obviously your want for growth. And those are two key things. I think most leaders and anybody could truly be a leader, you know, if they want that, is having that initiative and that growth mindset in order to build upon where they are so they can be those leaders. I mean, you quote unquote jump ship because you knew you wanted to do something different rather than just hanging back and just doing what everyone else is asking you to do. And you know, that takes a lot of courage. And a lot of leaders have courage as well as part of their skill set. So I think that's awesome. Congratulations on everything that you've accomplished.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. It was you know, the moment that I realized that you talk about courage, it's also kind of proof of concept, right? And so I had a young man in my office and he was the best leader I had ever coached. And he said, you know, coach, I've been the best player on every team I've ever been on. Everybody's always telling me to lead, but nobody ever taught me how.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So the entrepreneur in me was like, see a need, fill the need, right?
Fill the gap.
And the man in me was like, oh, nobody ever taught me how to lead either, right? So it was like, I had to solve this problem for myself. And they say most great companies are built from a problem that you solve for yourself, and then you learn how to solve it for other people. So that was kind of the journey, you know, that gave me that courage because it was like, no, this is something that is legitimately needed. This is something that will benefit people. This was something that will help young men and young women get some of the hard lessons that I had to learn, you know, and be able to step into those leadership roles and excel in them at a young age, you know? And so that was really exciting for me. And then the opportunity to teach it in the corporate space was even more exciting because it's like, now I'm really making change like beyond just my university that I'm at. Now I'm able to impact families and I'm able to teach skills that a senior manager might go home and use in his family life or in his community, you know, and the businesses get better. So it just became this really, really like self-fulfilling prophecy that added more courage on top of what I had already had, right? So it was me lighting the match. And then from there, like my clients just pour the gas on it and make me believe, you know, hey, I'm doing the right thing and I need to continue to add value to people.
That's awesome. I want to get to what you really are passionate about, which is the 5 C's for effective leadership. So why don't we start by you explaining what those 5 C's are to our audience and then why this is important in leadership?
Yeah. And I'll just kind of list them and then we can unpack them, you know, however you'd like. So our 5 C's, I have to give a little context to it. I'm very lucky. Sometimes business is 90% luck at times, right? And
yes, can be.
I got really fortunate. So I went on this deep dive of what were the traits that stood apart for like really effective leaders? And not necessarily like leaders that are people that we traditionally think of, right? Not necessarily the superstars, but just effective leaders. Like what shows up? And I had seen it through my career. I just didn't have labels for it. And so as I started my PhD studies, I got access to psychology research and organizational psychology research. And I was like, all right, let me go down this rabbit hole now and figure this out. And lucky for me, the entrepreneurial gods were looking down upon me and they gave me five character traits that happened to all start with C. And so the five C's were born, right? And so it was really lucky, but it made a lot of sense as well. And we'll see as we talk more how it forms this narrative. But the first C is character, right? And that sits right in the middle. And to me, and as I've seen and as the research supports, you know, great leaders know who they are. They know exactly who they are. They know exactly who they're not. And they're rooted in a set of vision, mission, and values, and they lead authentically. You know, that's something that, that really stands apart, right, for effective leaders. From there, it's consistency is our second C. You know, as we know, humans operate off of pattern recognition. Like when we're looking at somebody that we want to potentially follow, first thing is be somebody worth following and be going somewhere worth going. And then secondly, can we trust you on the journey, right? Can we trust you? And so we want people that are the constant, not the variable in our lives, right? So our second C is consistency. The third C is commitment. Your people want to know what you're committed to. Right? It's not enough to just show up consistent every day if you're not consistent towards a vision, if you're not consistent in your commitment to the organization, right? So that's the third C is commitment. And part of that is a challenge for leaders because we're high performers, right? We want to constantly be looking forward. But part of showing that you're committed is being committed to the people that are around you and the people that invest in you and understanding that the results that you, you crave will come as a result of that commitment to the people around you, the organization and the vision and the culture, right? And then our fourth C is creativity. And creativity is, it's synonymous with leadership, right? Like we talk about the COVID-19 pandemic, like the companies that pivoted and came out of that really strong, nobody says that they got managed through crisis. Like we say that they got led, right? Everybody says led. And so it's synonymous, right? We understand inherently that great leadership thrives in those figure it out moments. And so, you know, our fourth C is creativity, that you have to be a creative leader and be able to problem solve because that's what leadership is. It's the people business. It's messy. And so you have to be able to problem solve. And then the last C is the most predictable one. It's the one that everybody waits for. They're like, okay, you went through four. Where's it at? It's communication. it's your ability to communicate, right? Everybody knows, you have to be able to communicate on a really, really high level. So, so those are our five C's. They form, you know, the foundation of our curriculum and they are the things that when we look at leaders, if we can identify which of those five C's is kind of lacking, usually if you can work on that, it's going to raise the other ones as well, right? Which is really cool. Now, again, character kind of stands on its own because that one has to be in place. The other four become irrelevant if character is not there.
I could appreciate that. And it's interesting that you have the five C's because there's so many five C's. I worked in a corporate as well where there we had the five C's and that was part of our culture. And of course, two of them were create and communicate. There were you know, others collaborate, connect and stuff like that. But it's interesting that, that there's so many words starting with the letter C that just speak to leadership. So yours are different as well. There's other ones out there on the internet for five C's. So let me ask you this, because, you know, we do have new leaders or people who want to be leaders listening to this podcast. And I'm wondering if, I mean, character you said needs to be there. Is there another one that absolutely needs to be developed? If they have character, that's almost key. When you think of the other fours, which would you say?
Consistency, 100%.
Consistency? Yeah, why do you pick that?
You need people to want to bet on you. And your people are watching, right? And I've come to this conclusion in my life that consistency will create, consistency will solve 90% of your problems in life if you're consistent in the right things. Consistency will also create 90% of your problems in life if you're consistent in the wrong things, right?
Right.
And and I always go back to human psychology. And when we look at people, the number one thing that we're looking at when we're trying to build a relationship with someone is, am I safe with you? And the
Right.
only way that we can feel that safety is if there's a level of predictability to your emotional responses, to what you believe in, to the way that you spend your time. Like, we look at those things. And so for leaders that aren't consistent, every time you interrupt that pattern, it's like breaking a dish. It's harder and harder to put that trust back together. So every time you interrupt somebody's pattern of you or your behaviors, it gets harder and harder for them to trust you, right? And so for leaders, we have to be consistent in what we're doing and how we're acting consistently and day after day. And it's really hard. It's really difficult because we're human. We have bad days too. And so it gets really tough. And so that's where systems and processes come in. And I found that really successful people are not special. They just have built systems and processes that support their goals, right? And that support what they're trying to be. And so what I mean by that is specifically how they deploy their resources, right? And so when I'm talking with managers and I'm talking with people in C-suites and things like that, the number one thing that they struggle with is time management, right? Because there's so many fires to be put out. And so it's like, okay, how do you be consistent in the way that you deploy your energy? And to me, you have to build a system. So what we've built is what we call the 70-25-5 rule. So every day, say you wake up with 100 units of focus or 100 units of energy. If you're in a leadership role, 70% of that should be focused on your strengths. It should be focused on the things that you're already good at. And so push back, and people say, well, shouldn't you develop your weaknesses until they become strengths? And I'm like, listen, when you're in a leadership role, you're there because you have a set of skills. You're there because you are uniquely qualified to do something certain, some certain aspect. Maybe it's managing people, maybe it's, a marketing person, whatever. You're there because you have a set of skills. And so at that point, that energy is better spent developing those skills to the point of competitive advantage, to the point where you have now widened the gap, right? And so that's where I say you want to spend 70% of your energy. The next 25% will be on R&D, right? Research and development, new things. And if you're not sure where to start, I tell people start with things that are strength adjacent, right? So what I mean by that is for me as a, when I first started out as a solopreneur, before I had a team, I knew I was good at this part. I knew I was good at delivering the content, the communication piece. I had that. And so for me, that 25% now meant, okay, what are skills that I can build that will bolster my ability to deliver the content? And so for me, that was, social media marketing. It was video editing. Now, do I want to be a video editor? Do I want to be in marketing? Absolutely not. Not what I want
But
to
it
do.
needs done.
But, right. But I need those skills because they help my 25 or they help my 70%.
70,
And so that's what we want to teach leaders is to build those systems to be able to do that. And then the last 5%, it's kind of counterintuitive. But it's 5% on your weaknesses. Like I joke all the time when I give the presentation about this system, I joke because my business partner is usually there and I say, if there's an Excel spreadsheet attached to an email, there's a 90% chance that I don't read it. I just send it to him. Because I know as a leader, my inherent, what's the word I'm looking for here? My
Weakness or
reaction, my yeah, my reaction would be to dive down the rabbit hole and to start exploring that spreadsheet and start figuring it out because I'm driven. I want to be the best. And so, rather than do that, I want to respect his 70%. He's the numbers guy. And so it's now me being able to also help my team be consistent. So by you spending less time on your weaknesses, you're now helping your team be consistent because you're showing them, one, I know and understand your strengths. I respect and value those strengths. Three, I'm going to allow you to work in your 70% because this is your 70%, right? And so the take home that I always give people when it comes to the weaknesses piece is we don't buy dogs and then bark for them. And then, and yet we
Like
do that
that.
in corporate America all the time. All the time, right? So I ask leaders, what are things that you're doing that you really shouldn't be doing? Because it's not always
Bingo.
what you can add, it's what you can take away.
I love that because I do the same thing when I'm doing my coaching and consulting. It's the same, exact same thing as, yes, you want to work on your weaknesses, but that can't be what you do fully. You have a team who helps you with those things so you can use your strengths to build the company or whatever it is you're doing. So 100% agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. I want to come back to something you mentioned, which I think was pretty key, is being consistent is one thing. being consistent in a positive way versus a negative way is another thing. And I like that you brought that up because as leaders, we want to lead by a positive example with consistency. We can't be consistent by yelling at David every time he comes in my office and I don't want to have him there, right? We need to be consistent in our behaviors, which is another great word that you use, because that builds the culture that we want and that we want to go to work and we know that we're going to be led positively and we're going to have consistency in our life that is for the good, right? So I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that is a couple of really key points for the listeners to take away, especially new leaders.
Yeah, definitely. And
So,
it's a
yeah.
challenge. It's a challenge.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Is there a difference on which 5 C is important for new or want to be leaders compared to those who maybe have been a leader for 20 years?
Yeah, I would say as you when you first start out, you need to figure out who you are first as a leader. Like,
Yeah.
how are you going to lead? What is your journey going to look like? And so I think it's really important, and I know we've talked about character, but I think it's really important to really double down on that and figure out how your personal vision, mission, and value statements intertwines with the organization that you're a part of, right? Because
Yeah.
everything that you do as a leader has your personal signature on it. You know, it's
Yeah.
not a bunch of robots. And so that really intertwines. And that's so important because as you raise up in the corporate structure or whatever, the temptations become greater to stray from your vision, mission, and values, right? There's more things, and I don't necessarily mean in a completely unethical way, but more so like you're under pressure and you have to perform. And so if you're not rooted in your vision, mission, and values, and you start to sacrifice those things early on in your career, 25 years down the road, you might be at a Christmas party celebrating your bonus, and you might walk past a mirror and go, "Man, how did I get here? You know,
Yeah.
I don't like the trail of destruction that I left behind me. It's not who I am." And so I think for leaders, young leaders and new leaders, it's really important to get really, really crystal clear on that character piece and your vision, your mission, and your values, and how am I going to lead as a part of this larger organization? And then the first three, really, character, consistency, and commitment. Those are your first three that you need to hammer home as a leader, especially as a young leader. And I said commitment before, but one of the reasons that I reiterate that is because as high performers, and I felt victim to this. I had the character piece down, I had the consistency piece down, but then I started to get jobs, and all of a sudden I was on this like meteoric rise, which happens to a lot of high performing individuals that are in leadership roles. And so we get shiny object syndrome, and we start to look to our left and look to our right, and we're looking ahead, right? And so the commitment piece of being able to be where your feet are and be great in the role that you're in. Because what happens is you may be a really high performer, you might be great at leading people, but if you're always looking forward and you're half in and you're half out, people will feel that. Your people
Yes,
will feel that, your
absolutely.
organization will feel that, and you now become this person that they're like, well, they're here for 2 years, this is a stepping stone. And so now you've built a natural barrier to the relationship that you can build within your team. And so I think the commitment piece for young and talented people is so vital to just remind yourself to bloom where you're planted. Like, the most important job you have is the one you have right now. And so be there and be great at it, right? And then for older leaders or for seasoned leaders, the creativity piece and the communication piece. I think the older you get, like, I had a mentor that once told me, in strength and conditioning, there's programs that you follow, there's protocols, there's certain ways to train the body. And he used to always say, you have to be a cook before you can be a chef, right? Meaning
Yes,
you
I've
have to
heard that
follow,
before.
yeah, you have to
Yeah.
follow the recipe before you can start adding your own swing to it and your own taste to it. And I think the same is true of leadership, right? We need to lead in a way that is somewhat predictable before we can start making those big decisions that are super creative. But once you are a seasoned vet, and you understand the rules, now you can choose which rules to break, right? Now you can choose. And when I say rules, I don't mean ethical rules. I mean more like,
Right, yes.
status quo. Like, I can choose what creative pivots I want to make, right? And so a lot of leaders say, I want to get the right people on the bus, I want to get the wrong people off. That's a common cliche. Creative leaders say, I want to get the right people on the bus, and then I want to be able to switch their seats along the journey depending on what
Yeah.
we need. Right. And I
Yeah,
think that's
exactly.
something that great seasoned vets can do. They understand their team really well, and they can make creative movements, and they know, they can recognize, hey, this person would actually do okay in this role. Let me start to apply them to stretch roles or stretch goals or, you know, whatever the situation may be. And I think that is a sign of a seasoned leader that's really solid in their foundation. And the same with communication. I think the longer you're in a leadership role, the better a communicator you should be. And it's not because you talk more, it's because you listen more.
Yes, I was going to say, it's
intentional listening. Yes, and being a great observer. You should be able to observe your people, read their body language, read their reactions to things, their responses to things, and navigate. I say that seasoned leaders are like DJs. Like, they stand behind this booth with all these sliders and things, and it's tonality, it's body language, it's setting, it's all these different things. And they know what to turn up and what to turn down, depending on the audience. And so those are the seeds that I would apply to different levels of leadership.
Love it. Love it. And, you know, when you talk about all of those things, I mean, communication, let's be honest, is the muscle. You have to work it on a regular basis, or you can fall into bad habits with it. I mean, and the listening piece, certainly something that you have to practice all the time. Exactly. Yes. I love your bus idea too, of moving people around, because everybody has the strength. And yes, we all have weaknesses. Let's be honest, every single one of us. So moving people around to actually enhance their strengths can absolutely enhance a business. It can absolutely bring in innovations and creativity. It can bring in more customers, customer satisfaction, whatever that is, by using the strengths of your team, not highlighting the weaknesses. And I like that you that bus acronym of moving people around. Love it. Love it. What would you say, with regards to our entire conversation today, the five C's, would be that one key takeaway that you think that people should take from our conversation today?
That leadership is messy, that it's the people business, you know, and understanding that you're not going to be perfect, and that leadership is a process. And it's these five C's that we talk about. They're not an overnight thing. They're things that you build over time, and you add more tools to the toolbox. And so I would hope that the number one takeaway for people would be just to be a lifelong learner, right? To continue to look for avenues to stretch those five C's, and how do I get better in these things that are going to enhance my ability to lead people. But ultimately it goes back to the point that I said earlier, which is it's the people business, right? So be who you needed. You know, be the leader you needed, be the person you needed, be the coworker, the mentor, the friend, et cetera. If you do that, you're off to a hot start. I think sometimes we dehumanize leadership with all these theories and concepts, and we miss the central point, which is it's about connecting with people, and it's about influencing people, because it's good for you and it's good for them. You're not special. You're not different than them. You just happen to have the map and a flashlight, and you're leading the way. Right. Yeah. And so that's what I talk about a lot. So I think that would be the key takeaway.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up the whole growth mindset thing, because we have to be, humans naturally learn all the time. And so that is something a leader must do. So thank you for an amazing conversation today. If our audience was looking to reach out or learn more about you, is there a way they can do that online?
Yeah. So we use our website, obviously, edgeleadershipacademy.com. There's resources on there. We have our newsletter, all that stuff. We have our podcast, the Built Not Born podcast. So that's available on all streaming platforms. We also are on social media. So me personally, I'm at Coach D Kitch on every social media platform. I'm available. I'm usually on there running my mouth about something and spouting out my opinions. So if you're interested in more of what we talked about today, those are the best ways to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the platform you've built here, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Awesome. Thank you. Of course, we also thank our listeners today, and we both hope that you gained a key takeaway or two during our episode. If you are in need for some leadership coaching, consulting, or to learn more about our leadership community, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, everybody, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.